B-Pod Studios.
97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, it's the 3 o'clock hour of the Mike Mussinelli Show on 97.5, The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly. The 3 o'clock hour brought to us by Core Police Bakery and Deli. World-famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays. Every a bit as good. Kobe Cohen at 4 o'clock. We'll talk some Flyers hockey. I'm about to go over the bracket in a second. But Tyrone, I know you were watching a little bit of the PGA.
Yeah.
Championship. There's another brother on the scene, Tyrone.
Yeah. It's interesting.
How about this? He came from nowhere, this kid.
He was in the mix really the whole time.
He was in tied for the lead on the Sunday.
Yeah.
Cameron Champ.
I'm interested. I got to find out a little bit more about him.
He went to Texas A&M, I think.
Texas A&M?
Yeah. He was a golfer at Texas A&M.
It'd be interesting as he gets more popular how he handles things versus how Tiger handled things.
Yeah.
With just the fact that he's black. Will he even say it?
Well,
because the last guy didn't.
Yeah.
It could be.
Actually talked about it. His grandfather was got him into golf. His grandfather was a devotee of one of the original black golfers, Lee Elder.
Oh, I've heard. Yeah, I know about Lee Elder.
Yeah, Lee Elder. And mm-hmm. his grandfather was a big fan of Lee Elder.
And that led
so him. That was like the history of golf. And he got him indoctrinated into the game.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. You had a young Asian guy winning.
Yeah.
Well, that kid is something else.
Yeah, he's really good.
That dude pulled off that shot.
Mm-hmm.
He hit a driver on the green and made eagle.
I mean,
to win the tournament.
I mean, he did it cold too, like real, like without flinching.
Well, he
flinching.
Went to Cal Berkeley too, so he's probably played that course a few times.
Probably
in San Francisco.
And it was good to see the Asian community, sports community, come out so hard for him. Just because you don't see the Asian sports community out that much.
Yeah,
right.
They don't really have much representation.
Yeah.
In sports. So that was nice to see.
Meanwhile, this meathead Brooke Koepka is getting on my last nerve.
Well, now he's got beef with who else?
Dude,
he's got beef with Dustin Johnson.
I swear to God, I've never seen more of a whining little brat than this guy. He's always whining about a lack of respect. All right, he's won like 7 tournaments on the PGA Tour. Wait, all of a sudden he's Jack Nicklaus?
Yeah.
You know, he's got to get Jack Nicklaus respect. He throws, did you see what he said about DJ? Dustin Johnson going in the tournament?
Yeah, and Rory.
The last day?
Yeah, and Rory had to, like, say, like, I don't know where that came from. I think they thought it was kumbaya. Like, the fact that other players have to weigh in about this guy. What are you doing?
He goes, well, yeah, I won 4. DJ's only won 1. You know? It's like, don't compare him to me.
Florida State playing golf.
And he choked and went 4 over on Sunday. Good.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying. He's being humble now. He's going to talk all that trash.
He's a punk.
Game will humble you. Just like life will. The game will humble.
Shambo's a punk. I want to see them both fight. Seriously, I want to see them actually fight on the golf course. Both of them deserve to get bruised up.
It might be time. It might be time.
For what, a golf brawl?
Yeah.
The world of people stuck in the house.
Yapping like behind each other's back. You know, like, pair them up. Pair these dudes up, man. If you got any sense of humor at all, pair these guys up in a tournament.
I think it's time.
Drop the clubs
that
and make it a fair
awesome.
One.
Awesome. Be icy.
Yeah. All of a sudden.
You know?
Yeah.
And, what'd you say?
Swinging.
What?
Right.
You know, one of those, one of the T.
And Brooks apparently always is rushing guys.
Yeah, so he hates slow play.
Yeah, he's rushing guys, so he's going to say something. Come on, can you take the putt? And then he's going to turn and say something to him. It'd be awesome.
Yeah, is he married?
No, he's got this really hot girlfriend.
Nah, Brooks isn't married. Nah. Florida State, the keg stand, bro. He's not going to get married for a little while. He's not going to get married until he has
to. She's like model pretty, this girl that he's with. But
I was going to say, if he has a wife or a girlfriend, I'd be like, honey.
Later on,
tone it down until you start to win again, babe.
You got to tell me some etiquette things with baseball, too.
Yeah, what's
that? Look at that thing that happened with Houston and the A's.
Uh-huh.
That coach talked all that big stuff. Then when the player comes forward, he goes and hides behind somebody.
Yeah.
Oh, you tough guy.
He wants to instigate and then he goes and runs away.
You didn't want no real smoke. Then you run away and you hide behind a guy and get another guy, a horse collar.
What baseball players is, though, when they charge, they don't charge the right way. They charge and then chicken. Like, if you're going to charge a guy, like that A's guy goes charging after him and he kind of like... He like ducked.
The guy kind of got him by the neck.
Like, you got to charge a bull rush somebody there if you're going to charge into somebody.
But the coach going and he goes, come on. And then as soon as he comes, he's behind.
What did he think he wasn't going to go
that's
after?
That's a violation, right? That's a violation.
Baseball fan.
To cower?
Fights are silly. Man, you got to throw punch. You know?
Because then that'll get somebody out of the way. Or
go roundhouse.
Or, come on, man. I got to be straight up. If I'm trying to get to a guy, I'm not going to hit anybody with the bat. But I'm carrying the bat to make you think I might. So I can get to my target, and then I put down the
bat. Wield a weapon.
I'm not going to hit a guy.
I know, but
I need to get close to that guy. So I got to take this bat, because that guarantees my entry to that guy's grill. And then I'll hit him with the fist. But I got to get used to
this. This is a show of peace and positivity.
I love baseball, bro. I know.
All
right, let's go, Dave in Maryland. Dave, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
Hey, guys. Philly. I wish I could attack the Phillies bullpen like Laureano attacked the Astros yesterday.
They struggle a little bit.
They do. I don't blame them. I mean, they're just not that good. But the Phillies have Austin Davis, Trevor Kelly. They've got like six guys down there like that. Most teams have one that, you know, you throw in there in the game. But like everybody they throw in there is just like.
Well, it's funny because Morgan. It can be effective at times, but he came in that game. It was like skeet shooting. The sound in that ballpark. They were hitting like quack. You know, can hear like in a neighborhood.
He was only hitting 91 yesterday. He's usually around 94, 95, and it was loud noises. We'll put it that way. But one of my bigger issues is I don't know if you watched the second game. There's a double off the wall late in the game. And the way McCutchen played it off the wall, he couldn't bend over.
Yeah, that's the one Roman Quinn retrieved.
Yeah. And it's just like, you know, obviously you have Kingery and Hoskins struggling, but the team hasn't been the same since he got hurt.
No, I worried about whether he was going to come back. He doesn't look like
he's
I think he's no longer like, McCutchen. He's just a guy.
He's just a dude.
Yeah.
But Segura's done. It's just like,
they're all in the same boat, too. You're right, Segura. They're all like the baseball wall. They've all hit.
Yeah, and then you have Hoskins that, you know, has taken 44% of the strikes. Or I saw a number, 44% of the strikes he's seen this year.
Yeah, it's a guy who has no confidence.
It's just like, what happened? And you know, I don't know. It's the starting pitching hasn't been bad. The only thing I questioned Girardi on yesterday is, you saw the Braves matchups first. Why did Howard start the second game? I thought like a kid, you know, you have him sitting around the ballpark for, you know, 6 hours waiting to start. Get him in there. I mean, I think his nerves are going to be heavy. Just get him in and play. And you had a better chance.
Yeah, I don't know what was behind the last game.
You have a better chance of beating the Braves bullpen than you do of beating Max Fried. And I think you have a better chance with,
unless he thought they were going to win game one and that would lessen the load for a win in game two. I don't know.
That backfired. And then you got to get a win tonight because Marcus Stroman just backed out. Three out of the five starters in every of the rotations are either hurt, like for the Nationals, Braves, and Mets. And you're just sitting there struggling with Trevor Kelly.
Yeah, Trevor Kelly. Trevor Kelly annoys me as much as Neshek.
His eyes, he just looks like he's going to get.
Oh, that's what it was, because he didn't want to have Real Muto. He wanted Real Muto catching Spencer Howard.
Muto in the first game.
Yeah, this Real Muto thing has got me. Got me unnerved, and nobody else seems to be unnerved by it. I'm unnerved by it. What have we lost our competitive spirit here? You going to just take that sitting down? That your best hitter is not in the lineup. All right. I guess I care too much.
Well, day game after a night game. I guess that's what people are thinking. The convention says day game after a night game.
Here's the problem.
You get napping.
There's no convention now. It's a 50-game season. There's no convention. All that crap is thrown out the window. All right?
Yeah.
So you got to win against these kind of teams. You don't have time to go through the regular conventional baseball nonsense of, oh, you can't wear your catcher. You can wear a man now and rest him against Baltimore. Take him out of line for two games if he needs a rest. He's played how many? Nine games? The guy's played nine games.
You're worried
about him catching 14 innings? He's played nine games.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. It's got me. I'm telling you, I'm frosty.
You are.
Let's go to Ed in Wilmington. Ed, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ed.
Mike, how are you?
What's up, Ed?
And baseball season, like you said, is a small hourglass.
Yeah.
You better get after it.
Well, and people are going, Mike, you don't understand. It's the dog days of August. They play nine games. Ain't no dog days.
No, no. Every sport this season is different, but the Flyers, Mike, I am flyered up big time. I can honestly say this is the best Flyers team that I've ever seen. And I go back pre-Lindbergh, they just took it to Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. That was at Smothering D. You saw, they play such a good game. And they're willing to give it to a guy who hasn't scored a goal. Here, you want it? And then, boom, right in there. It's just a beautiful little lift pass.
Yeah.
Everything they're doing is great. And I heard you last week talking about other coaches saying, we're not playing it too hard in this round robin.
No, he was ticked off that the players weren't playing hard. Like, he's noticed that his team isn't playing as hard as he wants them to play, but that they all had this round robin glide going on.
Yeah,
that was his point.
Tampa Bay better watch out for Columbus because they're not afraid of them at all. And Tampa Bay is depleted with injuries, but the Flyers, Mike, I mean, they just look so good. Carter Hart, I am really anxious. And it all starts tomorrow night, and we're back to the regular format.
Yeah.
And Vegas is, I think, undefeated on the west side. So we could get a Vegas Flyers deal. I truly think the Flyers can win the Cup this year.
I totally agree. Now Las Vegas is playing well right now, too.
Yeah, they are. But our two goalies are better than their goalie, in my opinion.
Well, I hope that second guy doesn't play, but yeah.
But I
don't worry about two goalies at this point.
Well, it's nice to have Elliott there.
Yeah, why?
Because he's
only if Carter Hart gets hurt is it nice to have Elliott. But I'm not gonna tinker with this. He's playing every
Elliott
game.
Look good in his game.
Yeah, but you're not. Are you gonna play him in the Stanley Cup playoffs?
If I have to, is a double.
Well, what would you? What would you mean? Like, what would be circumstances that you would have to play him?
If Carter Hart got hurt.
Well, that's the only thing. That's what I'm saying. Barring him getting hurt, you're not gonna play Elliott, are you?
No, I'm not.
At least we came to agreement. Now they recede this, right? They recede the NHL playoffs?
Yes.
All right, let's do a quick prediction here.
All right.
I got the Flyers as the number one seed winning that series.
Yes.
Tampa Bay, Columbus. So Tampa Bay will survive as the number two seed.
Yes.
Islanders, Washington. I'm not sure how to call that.
Now, I'm going to defer on this one and go with Brooke, who covers the team for NBC Sports Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
Young hockey mind. She has Washington winning that in six.
All right, so that's chalk so far. And then I got Carolina in an upset against that team that's not playing well at all. I think they could be knocked off by Carolina.
And Brooke has that, actually.
Well, is that right?
In six games.
Okay.
She has the Hurricanes. So in that scenario, it's Flyers,
Carolina.
Yes, and then
Rindamore versus this whole squad.
Oh, that's great. That's theater. That's theater.
It is.
That's great theater.
Yeah, see, I think Rindamore had him ready to beat Boston.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So Flyers, Carolina.
Yep.
Second round.
Oh, Brindy.
No, it would be Carolina or Boston, but I think Carolina wins that series.
I agree with you.
All right. Let's go to Ron in Lebanon. Ron, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ron.
Thanks, Mike.
What's up, Ronnie?
Long time listener, first time caller.
Thank you, buddy.
I agree with you on our catcher. Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't the Philly killer, Travis Dernard, didn't he catch both games of the doubleheader for the Braves?
Darno, did he catch both? I don't know. I don't think he did.
If he didn't, he got in the second game because I wasn't paying that much attention. And then I saw him bat in the second game. But as a career catcher myself in both baseball and then fast pitch softball, many a time you played on a Friday night, you played seven innings. Then you had three games the next day. It was 21 innings. And then on a Sunday, if you were in the losers bracket, you played five games. There's nine games.
Well, listen, I get it. We're talking about a major league level is a little different.
I agree, but then you're also holding down a full-time job.
but see, you're not playing at the same proficiency level as those guys.
I agree, but but I'm talking just physically, they should be able to do it, especially when you're
I don't
in your
think 20s. I'm asking too much for a major league player 9 games in against the top team in a division to catch 14 innings. I'm sorry. I don't think I'm asking too much.
You're not.
And I know it's a taxing position. Believe me, I know it. I know what baseball's about. I know how taxing the catcher position is. This is no time to play it conventionally.
Well, I would have been knocking on the manager's door.
Brandon Flowers caught game one. I thought I saw him at a dugout.
Another thing, they're averaging 5 runs a game, but how inconsistent. They'll score 9 or 12, and then for a game or two, they'll get 0 or 2.
They are the 28th in the league with runners in scoring position. So OPS is nice, and OPB is nice. 28th and runners left in scoring position. So
terrible. I agree. Terrible. When I see them have a second and third and one out or no out, I'm thinking, oh man, here's a strikeout or a little pop line in the infield.
Yeah, I got you. And of course, listen, my guy gave me what I expected: less than 5 inning, Vinny.
I mean,
burned 75 pitches, and he said. Tyrone, let's get the quote here because I want to accurately quote him.
Yeah, you don't want to get anything wrong with
Vinny. I don't want to get anything wrong with Vinny because he seemed perturbed when questioned about his pitch count going up and the fact that they can't rely on him to get through 5. And he said he's close.
Yeah.
But just a little fine-tuning. Just needs a little fine-tuning.
How many years has he been with the Phillies?
Well, but see, now he's different because he's trying to throw another pitch. But yesterday, he only threw changeup fastball.
Yeah, so what?
So, I don't know.
I'm done with him as a starter. If I'm in charge, I'm finished.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not finished with him on the team because the bullpen's so bad.
But he can't throw strikes.
Well, he's going to have to throw strikes.
So he comes in the bullpen, and he's gasoline.
I need a different mindset from him in the bullpen. Not different stuff, not reinventing the wheel. What I need from you is fastball, 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 and then the occasional changeup, and then go sit down. Spot, I don't need you nib. I need fastball, fastball. So I would just have a one down. I would tell the other team, he's just throwing, this is all he's throwing. He's going to try to move a fastball because he can, and then once in a while I throw the change, and that's it. He's a two-pitch guy out of my bullpen. And that's all. And the only reason I'm doing that is because this bullpen is horrendous. Like, I hate this bullpen. I hate it so much. Like, it makes me not like the sport. Klintak, this bullpen, you don't have any confidence watching these games, man. There's no fun. You're down 2-0, and they go to the bullpen. You know it's going to be 6. Like, there's no enjoyment watching the Phillies with this bullpen. I'd even take Vinny.
Well, they had to make a decision on their starters because Friday is when it comes around that Velasquez or Howard will throw.
No, we got some news about that, Mike.
Girardi says, right now my plans are Vinny to make that start.
But
yeah, go ahead. So according to, I guess when he spoke this afternoon, he's preparing them both.
Oh, he's preparing them both.
Yeah, he's preparing both Howard and Velasquez to start. And he goes on and says that the Phillies could use them in a piggyback role against the Mets.
So you get 4 from Vinny. You get 5 from Howard, and maybe you don't have to use the rest of the pitch.
All right.
That's a decent play.
And then I just phase Vinny out, leave Howard in, and then Vinny, you are now a bullpen guy. And if you can't do this at the end of these next 45 games at that point, then you're out of baseball because I don't want you around here anymore.
You're out of baseball.
I can't with the Pavetta. I can't. Like, it makes me physically ill to see these guys out there, and this GM tell me, and these experts, I want to slap every one of them. They all told me that Vinny and Pivetta were going to be good last year. They still stink. Where's my apology? Experts, analytics, I want to smack them all. Oh, he's going to be good. Look at his spin rate. If you don't take that spin rate,
take that spin rate and shove it up your nose.
Yeah.
610-632-0975. Back. A little break. Mike Missinelli Show continues.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, see, 29. It's time to get a Twitter poll update from Natalie. And Twitter poll is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Nat?
Thanks, Mike. Over 600 votes on this one today. The one seed in the Eastern Conference has not made the Stanley Cup Finals in 16 years. Will the Flyers be different? 75% say yes, 25% say no.
All righty. Thank you very much. So I when I tweeted that thing out about Real Muto yesterday, this guy came back at me. And his Twitter handle is Phillies Bell.
Okay.
And I look at his Twitter thing. And he reports all this Philly news, but I have no idea who he is. Is he, like, just a fan who, like...
Probably. Yeah.
Created his own, like, little thing?
There are a lot of them, yeah.
There's a lot of them out there.
Anyway, he came... Anybody who's ever caught knows that a catcher can't catch 15 innings. I go, where'd you catch? And I never got an answer from the guy. And I see he's talking about how he caught... In his 50s. Like, he must have been playing in these rec leagues or something.
Oh.
Why do people do that?
There it is. My knees bother me as well. All right, first of all, he's replying to this other guy. Oh, it's Aaron. She goes, come on, Mike, miss. My brother caught through college. His knees are still awful. You have no idea the impact it causes over a game, let alone 14. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I have an idea of it. What I'm saying is these guys get paid handsomely. It's 14 innings in a game against a contender. They've only played 9 games this year. I'm adding all the factors. I understand how taxing the position is. But anyway, this guy, Phillies Bell, then says, my knees bother me as well. Have been through most of my 50s. Catching regularly for 15 years didn't help. You're catching in rec leagues, dude. Where are you catching?
Why do people do that?
I don't know.
Like, why do they do that? Like, when I love when the guys say, when they're talking about Embiid or Simmons or whoever, they'll talk about what they do at the YMCA or what they did in a rec league or same thing with the Flyers. Oh, my men's league game when they play at midnight and they'll compare it to the NHL. Like, why do we do that?
I don't know.
We're not pro athletes. We're not asked to do the thing.
And the guy, he finally got exasperated with me, and then he went, got personal.
Well,
Then he went personal on me.
Naturally.
Yeah, all right, let's go. Two open lines, 610-620-975. Dominic in South Philly. Dominic, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Dominic.
Mikey, miss, how's it going today?
What's up, Dominic? How you doing?
I'm hanging in. I wanted to touch on a couple things. I was originally calling with a Flyers point. If it is true, which I can honestly understand about maybe these guys aren't playing quite as hard until the playoffs start. And even if that's the case, I as a Flyers fan, I am ecstatic that they came into this environment where you don't know how people are going to react as far as not how players are going to react without the fans and it being different. They came in with such a chip on their shoulder and playing the way that they're playing that even if teams aren't playing quite as hard as they plan on playing in the playoffs. That switch that people say are there, that we always hope the Sixers are going to, the Sixers are going to turn on when the playoffs start. We know it's a lot easier said than done. So that being said, I think that the Flyers have the upper hand because they're just playing that way.
I totally agree with you. They're in such a groove now that they avoid the usual traps, like, are you playing Montreal? And No, they're solid. They play every game the same way.
Yes.
And that's the difference. Yeah. They have a consistency from lines 1 through 4 with a really good goaltender and defensive pairings that move the puck. So they can get it out of the zone and join the play and all that kind of stuff. And it's a complete team.
It's such a, I mean, I grew up, hockey was always my number one. As the years progressed, the Sixers and football. I mean, football's always been great, mm-hmm. but I grew up playing hockey and loved it. I just got so sick of, like, you would always make, I mean, we made fun, and I think you were in the same boat. You always were a Flyers fan. You know these guys, but that mucking and grinding and stuff.
Yeah, it was the same mindset that people thought I was, like, anti-franchise. Well, I was anti no change. That's what they needed a revolution to come through.
Exactly. And to see what we're watching now, it just makes you, oh my God, that fast pace. I love it. I absolutely love it.
Yep. I got you now.
I'm sorry. Real fast, as far as the Sixers.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is what gets me nuts. The guys, a few callers back, but the one guy who's saying, oh, the process was an abomination. Like, I don't want to get into that because I'll blow my gasket.
Yeah.
But a guy who even says he'll take DeMar DeRozan over Ben Simmons has no argument.
He went worse than that. He went Landry Shamet over Ben Simmons. Seriously, that guy should never be allowed to call again.
Come on, yeah, that's you lose any credibility as a sports fan.
Seriously, think about that for a second. Landry Shamet, he can shoot. People look at one thing. They see a guy make a couple shots, and they form this opinion in their head that, oh, he's a good player.
It's the same thing.
He's an okay player. Landry Shamet's a bench player. Right, come on,
he's
the
a
bench.
Nice bench player.
Yeah, he gave him 20 minutes. You know.
Right, but if you can't see the ceiling, that listen, and if people say the same about me. Oh, you're being wishy washy because you had said that if Simmons didn't have a shot by this, listen. The fact of the matter is, I don't want to hear that Embiid and Simmons can't play together because honestly, as much as we like Brett Brown as a guy, Brett, it's time to go. They need a new voice.
You're right about that, and they may not be able to play together. That remains to be seen, though. The first thing you're going to try to do is get a different voice. And then it's not a thing you can just, out of spite, give up on. I know everybody's angry. I can't play again. Trade one of them. It's an overreaction that you're going to be really sorry that you said.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, Durant and you're talking about there's a lot of great players who did not win anything in mm-hmm. the same time in their career as Simmons and Embiid. A lot of great duos, including Shaq and Kobe and Jordan and Pippen, as I've said many times. Why are we in such a rush not to hold them accountable? By all means, why are we in such a rush to trade people? Plus, we're in the city of Philadelphia. We've traded stars before. Most times, we come up on the losing end of those deals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it's not easy. As much as let's say you could just trade Ben Simmons. Are you sure you're not going to get pennies on the dollar? Because you have a choice. Either you're patient, and I know it stinks, and you hope that he evolves, or you trade him now at pennies on the dollar, and then what? I'd rather take the risk.
And spite yourself.
Exactly. Same thing with Embiid. Okay, what perfect trade are you going to make to trade Embiid for a player who fits perfectly mm-hmm. with a Ben Simmons that doesn't shoot and can anchor your defense? Instead of what, like, the trade-off is not great. We're trying to act like, oh, yeah, you could just do this magical trade and it would just happen. I don't believe that's the case. You could just trade Simmons for a perfect piece around Embiid, and you could trade Embiid for a perfect piece around Simmons.
There are two guys that I would trade Simmons for, and neither team would trade that person for him.
Right.
And that's Luka. It's Luka.
And Dallas would not even consider it.
And it's
with the Suns.
Yeah.
Booker.
Devin Booker.
And
the only two players that I would trade for him now.
Now, I guess you can call the Suns because there's rumors that he might want out.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess if it was a situation where he said out loud, which he has not done, by the way, but let's say he did pull an Anthony Davis and say, I 100% want out. I guess there's a scenario where Ben Simmons would be the best they could get back. But since he has not done that, that's still a very unrealistic trade because the Suns would say no to that.
Yes.
Dame Lillard would look great, hypothetically. If you mm-hmm. think that Embiid only has 2 years left and you have a small window, Portland's not going to do that. No. Portland, they want him to end his career there. They think he's a lifelong Blazer. He's connected with that community mm-hmm. on a level that very few players have connected with communities.
Yep.
They're not going to do that.
Here's the good part that came out of yesterday. All right, they fought hard, which is a good part. But here's the good part if you look at the box score. The number one guy off the bench was limited to 13 minutes yesterday. It's possible that the head coach is learning that he's got to X him out of the picture, that he thinks he's going to get enough firepower from Burks, and then plays Robinson in some kind of combo role.
Mm-hmm. And I think that Pell yesterday finally put the nail in his own coffin by not knowing what the heck he was doing. And O'Quinn, and now your emergency center going forward is going to be Mike Scott. They're just going to go small.
Yeah.
They're going to go Embiid, Horford, Mike Scott. They're not going to go back
to
that.
I've asked people to watch Pell closely. And instead of reacting to an occasional block shot because he gets off the floor and he's tall and lean and he's impressive when he blocks a shot, watch where he goes on a floor. He has no idea what he's doing.
Nope. And they had to put
none.
And Mike Scott comes in and balances the floor because he knows how to play basketball.
Yes.
Even though he's smaller, he knows how to play.
Yeah, so I hope you looked at that yesterday.
It was very telling. Right? It was very telling.
Yes. David Roxborough, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. David.
Yo, Mike, Ty, Nat, how you
What's
doing?
What's up, Dave?
All right, well, I have a Phillies point, a Sixers point. None of them are too happy. I'm pretty disgusted right now with everything. First for the Phillies, my anger right now is totally more based on the front office. Like, Mike, let me ask you something. When is the last time, if ever, in their entire history, have the Phillies hit on a Acuna or a Soto or, like, a Tatis? Have they ever gotten that guy?
We get no, a great Latino player? No. The best one the farm system produced was Franco. Mikel Franco.
Do we have an international scouting department? Like, we get these guys and we're getting roasted by them in our division. And there's like Matt Klentak. How does he have a job? How is he not sued for like malpractice, thinking it was okay to go into this season with that bullpen, with that minor league, pony major bullpen? Like, it is so atrocious. And like, if they don't hit home runs, they don't score. If they don't manufacture runs at all. I know that's like not the thing in today's game, but they don't manufacture runs. They only score if they hit home runs. We'll get 12 in one game and then get shut out for two straight games. I'm just so disgusted with the Phillies.
I agree with you that there's no way that anybody who knows baseball can come up with a bullpen like that and think that it's going to be effective. The other thing that comes into play, though, is how much money do I have to? Because there were a lot of relief pitchers that got a lot of money, more than really they were worth, but they were more named veteran guys that teams signed. Now, I don't know how restricted he is.
Like, I don't need a name guy, Mike. I just need someone that's not minor league. At least someone that belongs in the majors. Like,
yeah.
It's rather bullpen that don't belong in a major league.
Yeah, I heard Kruk on the postgame shows yesterday say, he was listening to the radio and heard somebody say they don't have any power arms. Well, that was me. I was the one that said they don't have any power arms in the bullpen. And then when you construct a team, if you don't have a power arm, I don't have any use for you. I really don't. I'd rather take a guy who's got flaws who throw 97 because I can work with that rather than a 92 guy where I got to cross my fingers. The Phillies think the opposite. They think these 92 dudes can get people out.
It's just an atrocious situation. Like, the rebuild's been for 10 years. But quickly on a Sixers point for the process, I swear, Mike, I think the Flyers are the best team in the city right now, and they are. Like, I'm not a 3-for-4 guy. Like, if the Flyers win, I'll be happy for the city, but I've just never been into hockey. I think the Flyers are the best team in the city. You get more hockey callers, and their basketball knowledge is, like, non-existent. You need to screen them with, like, a basketball quiz if they're going to make a point.
I understand it.
Would you have him over Ben Simmons?
Yeah.
It is just the most absurd thing I've ever heard.
Well, you think that guy was a hockey fan?
Has to be.
Like, he was a hockey fan stepping into basketball?
They have a Napoleonic complex because hockey is the fourth most popular sport.
I understand it. I'm not going to hold that against them. I understand it completely. It's kind of a little man complex. I have empathy for that.
You're a kind man.
I am. How many years have I fought that, though?
Right.
You know, finally I've just gone, all right, I understand you. It's born out of insecurity, so I can understand. I'm at a stage now I'm a lot more tolerant.
Yes.
So the Flyer fans come out in droves to hate me. It doesn't matter. Whatever I say, there's always a Flyer. I always look at their profile and there's a Flyer logo on it. So I guess somebody's attacking me.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's a MAGA guy. Like, all the attacks are from Flyer fans and MAGA people. No matter what I say.
Right.
It could be a salient sports point. But those two groups are going to come out.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just waiting to pounce on you.
They are waiting to pounce on me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, 610-632-0975. That's how you get in. We got a couple of blinds. This is a good time to get in. And we've got Colby Cohen. Let's shed some light on the Flyers at 4 o'clock. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, 347. Mike Mesnelli Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. Sixer talk has been down today a little bit. I don't know. What does that mean? Does it mean the people have given up on the Sixers? They've kind of given up on them, haven't they?
I feel like they feel a little defeated.
They feel defeated. The fan base feels defeated. Now, listen, I'm the last guy to talk because I really haven't seen big fortunes for this team as we go into the playoffs. And I think they're a second-round loser and maybe a first-round loser if they have to play Boston. But it's not over. I mean, Embiid's going to be back. I don't know about Simmons. I would assume that, you know, that minor surgery can get him back maybe in the second series.
Yeah.
So can they beat... Can they get enough W's to get into the fifth seed to play?
Nah.
They can't.
Because, the Suns are desperate and they're undefeated in the bubble. And they're desperate because they're trying to get to that 9 to get to that play-in series.
Yeah.
They're trying to get to that situation. So they're desperate. Then you got a back-to-back with Toronto. Toronto is locked in at the 2, so they may sit guys. So maybe you get that one. And then Houston one might not matter. So if they can go 2-1 the rest of the way. Now, the good thing is Indiana and Miami play each other twice in the last 3 games. So if one of those, what they need is Miami or Indiana to go 2-0.
All right, let's just take worst case scenario then. They stay in a 6 seed.
Uh-huh.
Now, Boston has tremendous success the way they play Simmons.
Yes.
They're the success. First team that figured out to gate him.
Yes.
So can they beat Boston without Simmons, since he's not that much of an offensive force against Boston? Can they beat him with Burks getting buckets?
They'd be underdogs, but they could because they don't have an answer for Embiid. Nothing close to an answer for him. So that means they're scrambling and having their wings, doing a lot of double teaming. It's not impossible. They wouldn't be favored, but it's not impossible. And then you get Simmons back, and then you play in Toronto.
Yeah. And?
With Simmons back.
And?
With Simmons back, it's not impossible.
Toronto with Simmons.
It's not impossible. They'd be underdogs in that series,
Mikey
Miss
scenario where you win 2 series before you get to Milwaukee.
Yeah, then you get to Milwaukee. And I'll tell you what, if they beat Toronto, that tough Toronto team, then at that point, I feel good about their chances against the Bucks because they've shown a toughness that they have yet to show in the postseason.
All right, let's go. Speaking of the Flyers, there he is. The Flyer representative, Aaron from Norristown. What's up, Aaron?
Michael, how you doing?
What's going on, man?
Not much, not much. What a team this team is playing with. I mean, they've, like you've been talking about, I think like one of the most impressive things. I know the other day Ty was saying it didn't matter whether they won or lost that game. Same thing, first and second seed. You actually can see the difference with the matchup. So that was actually not something that I agree with. And I actually predicted that they would beat Tampa Bay because Stamkos, who was a Flyer killer, was out of that game. I don't know if he's coming back. Their record against the remaining teams with that upset that I also predict Carolina will beat Boston. Their record against the remaining teams that are left in the playoffs that they would face this year is 14-2-3. The only team they have a problem matching up with is the Islanders, who I think they were 0-2-1 against and gave up a lot of goals. They don't match up well. They like Vegas, are a favorite to play the Vegas Knights in the Cup. I don't think there's any reason that they won't get there. There's really only one reason that they won't get there, Michael, and I know you're not going to like to hear it, but we can't have a power play go 0-for-11 with a captain who, according to some people, the biggest highlight of the 3 games we played so far was him hitting the post.
Well, I gotta love you, man. You can't even give it up for G.
Oh, Michael,
even though you're the ultimate Flyer man, you just can't give it up for G.
Mike, okay, let me ask you a question. Did you watch the 3 games?
Yes.
Okay. Did you see?
Thought he played very well defensively.
What's that?
Thought he played very well defensively. Had a post ringer that really should have been a goal.
Yeah, he did play very well defensively. And mm-hmm. I'm actually just making a joke. Mm-hmm. Him and Couturier and Voracek before he got hurt, they actually shut down three of the top scorers along with a goalie who's literally playing out of his mind. I mean, mm-hmm. a 21-year-old who looks like a 10-year seasoned vet is mm-hmm. ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And I remember when they drafted him, both Jay and I told you that this guy who's got the experience in the World Cup internationally is going to do exactly what he's doing. They've got Myers and Sandheim playing 2 years together in Lehigh, but that power play can't go away for 11. I want to win a cup, and I think they have the team.
So what do you, does Gossens Bear have to be in the lineup?
You know what, Michael? The coach, again, pushing the right. How much effort did you see out of JVR and Gossens Bear when mm-hmm. they came into the lineup yeah. against Tampa Bay?
Yeah.
Tampa Bay's now hurting. Not only did they out with Stamkos, Hedman, which is, he's their best player, Hedman,
yeah.
he's probably done for the playoffs. Who's going to beat the Flyers going to the cup? Give me that team.
I agree with you. I think that the Flyers should come out of the conference. Now, I'm a little worried about the Carolina series.
Because, Michael, they were 3-0-1 against them this year.
Yeah,
I'm not worried about
I
that.
Know, but, you know,
he's so much more talented.
Brindy, my man Brindy, he's gritty. Hey, Brindy, how you doing?
Michael, your boy Saunders on the radio, you'll get this reference. I don't know if your co-host will. You know who he compared Kevin Hayes to, which I thought was right on?
Who's that?
Peter Mahovlich.
The big,
when he carries the puck,
the little M? Little M.
Peter Mahovlich. There you go.
The big M was Frank Mahovlich. See, I'm dazzling hockey fans out there now. Frank Mahovlich for the Canadiens and his younger, was it his brother? Little M, who was actually a bigger man than Frank Mahovlich. Peter Mahovlich for the Canadians.
What era was this?
Was it late 70s?
It had to be.
Wow.
Because I don't remember those guys.
Frank Mahovlich with the Canadians. But Frank was a good player. And mm-hmm. and the big M and the little M, Tyra.
Yeah, I don't know nothing about the M's. Neither M. That's before my time.
Frank Mahovlich. If Tim Saunders compared to Peter Mahovlich, 75% of his audience didn't know
that. So that's a deep old school.
Yeah,
that's an old school. Frank Mahala, they were like no helmet wearing dudes. Those guys,
the real hockey players.
Yeah, it was guys like that. The big M and the little M, and then they had the Rocket and the Pocket Rocket.
Well, I know about those guys. Those guys were star players, though.
Yeah.
Those were star guys.
The Rocket Richard and yeah. Pocket Rocket. Henri Richard.
Right, I know about them because they are in hockey lore.
Yes.
I didn't know the M's were in
hockey lore.
Both
M's? Oh, man, the M. Both, well, Frank more than Peter. Well, but Peter was younger. I have to look up the Big M's numbers.
Yeah.
610-632-0975. Talk more hockey. Colby Cohen, NBC Sports Philly, joins us for
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.